Hello and welcome to Care Insights with the Outstanding Society, the podcast channel created by the Outstanding Society to share and celebrate best practice whilst raising the profile of the social care sector. The Outstanding Society is a community interest company and membership is free to all, not just those who have achieved an outstanding rating. If you would like to join, please visit our website or follow the links in this episode. The Outstanding Society was thrilled to be back at the Care Show in October 2023, hosted at the NEC Birmingham, where we had the pleasure of presenting the Learning Lounge. The sessions held over the 2 days received impressive attendance. This recording features one of those insightful sessions. We eagerly anticipate meeting you all at the upcoming Care Show, taking place at the XL London on April the 24th and 25th. To secure your complimentary ticket, please visit www.careshowlondon.co.uk/TOS or simply click on the link in the episode details.
Welcome to Coming Out. What is it about? So essentially, this is going to be an amazing session where we get to officially launch Outstanding, which is the brand new sector-wide, completely inclusive diversity and equality forum. So it's going to be a great space that we're going to create. But first, I'd like everyone on the panel to introduce themselves. Lee?
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Lee Gilbert.
Hold it right close.
Am I working?
Closer.
Am I working okay?
There we go.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Lee Gilbert. I'm the Marketing Director for Nourish Care. So really great to be here today. And I'm really excited for this particular forum. So
I wore my gay shoes, especially.
Wow.
Hi everyone, I'm Samantha. I'm one of the directors of the Outstanding Society and CEO of Bracebridge Care Group as well.
Hello, I'm James Rycroft. I'm Managing Director of Vida Health. Maybe I forgot. I'm Managing Director of Vida Healthcare and also a Director of the Outstanding Society.
Hi everybody, my name is Caroline Kosh. I'm Managing Director of Clifton Home Care, a home care company, and Non-Exec Director at the OS.
Right, so if what we do at first, I kind of like set the picture. The best thing is, guess what? We're having drinks after. So it looks like they're going to set them up just there. So coming to this means you get a free glass or something later, provided beautifully by the people at Nourish. So thank you to Nourish for that. But they did that after we invited them. So that's, it wasn't related at all. It was not related. So that's just a disclaimer. Right, what is Outstanding and why is it important? Basically, there was a very long journey that I had coming out in social care. I came into the sector about 8.5 years ago. I didn't know, I was out and proud and gay in my, as I called it, my real life at the time. And that was fine. I was concerned as to how my team would take it, having an out brown leader. I was concerned about how the residents would take it. And then do you know what happened? I came out. And the best bit is nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares. The residents we take care of nowadays are the people that grew up in the 60s and the 70s. Guess what? They did it all. I've done nothing compared to what they have done. My keys have not been in a bowl in the middle of a flocked lounge. I said flocked. No, but basically these people have done it, been there, and really experienced life to its full. And I realized that I was putting my prejudices or my expectations on these individuals that we serve. And when we learned that it's not problematic, there's no issues there with, and that was lucky, which I accept, but that went through. And then that choice and that element about luck comes up. Why was I lucky? Why do I have to think like that? Why does anyone have to be lucky? Why just can't it be okay? So that was a starting point. And about 4 years ago, I had this idea. So I came from the world of law firms and I used to be an event producer. I know, the straightest job ever. So I used to be this large scale event producer. And when I was working at a law firm in the city, and we had something called Interlaw. And it meant that it was a diversity forum that went across if you were a small Myanmar law firm on the high street, to if you were one of the magic circle in Canary Wharf. And it meant that you had a network of people that identified in the spectrum, like you do,
all were great allies and wanted to support you. And it was a way of building a community, learning how to support companies and everything. So I was like, why don't we have that in adult social care? Adult social care recruits employs nearly 2 million people in our sector. And we don't have one thing. So if I wanted to march at Pride, I've got nobody to do it with. So it strikes me as crazy. Then comes the bit about the learning. So that's where we'll get onto with everyone. So that was where the idea of it came up from. And that's where it happened. So the Outstanding Society and my fellow directors, whether it's Zoe at the back on the phone, because she's really busy and important. And where's Ruth? Ruth is here. So it came down to how can we do that? And that was our logic. So the directors have basically said, yes, we can absolutely make this happen. So thus we launch Outstanding. So the idea is no matter where you're from, whatever side of the care sector, you're allowed to be involved. You're a supplier, doesn't matter, get involved. You're a resident, doesn't matter, get involved. Or you work within the sector. What's really brilliant as well about this is, so the first year, there's basically a plan for the next 3 years going forward, just so everyone knows. The first bit is that we build the community. So you log in via the Outstanding Society website and just submit your details, and we'll be sending out mail shots when things are ready to go on a bigger scale. And that's the joining. There's no fee, there's nothing, and it doesn't matter. So your team members can do it independently. You can do it as a home. It's completely open to everyone in the sector. Once we've done that, the first year is about building that community, and we're going to be representing it lots of different prides. Ideally next year, up and down the country, making sure that we get somewhere in Wales and get somewhere in Scotland. Because even though we're England specific, we're hoping to get funding to support us to do it up and down the country. And again, including Northern Ireland. The second year will be about really using that community to create best practice around employees and employers. So learning what it takes to be a really good inclusive employer, and what it takes to understand how to support your employees who live on the spectrum in any form. The third year, hopefully, we'll be able to create best practice policies around residents and how to support residents that are either LGBTQ+ onwards. And that's what we want to do. We want to affect real change. So we need real people to be involved and in how we do it. So that's our big mission. I want it to happen tomorrow, but I need to be realistic and admit that it's going to take us 3 years because the regulators, Care England, the UK Health Security Agency, Department of Health and Social Care, everyone has told us how invested they are in making this work. So we have that. We've got Skills for Care. We've got everyone involved that wants us to succeed and actually help them create policy that's going to service those residents from people that identify, rather than somebody that doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. Lee, as somebody that works in the sector, works as a supplier, has their own journey within the spectrum, tell us about why this is important and critical to you.
I love that you spoke about luck, because I feel lucky too. I feel lucky to be a part of this sector. I feel lucky to be part of Nourish. I feel lucky to have had a positive journey through my coming out. I spent 40 years hiding my truth. And the fact that in the last few years, I've been able to be myself and actually become part of such an inclusive environment makes me feel emotional and very, very proud. I'm working in an organization like Nourish that embraces diversity and promotes inclusion really resonates with my heart. And I think, to your point, Sanjay, it's really important that not just providers, but also suppliers are part of the process, because we need to reflect society in the whole sector, not just whether it's breaks delivering some produce into a care home, whether it's a tech provider like Nourish that may be providing some form of a platform or some other technology that's helping improve care delivery or evidence care delivery. It's fundamentally important that everyone plays that part. And you speak about best practice, and you know, everything about best practice is fantastic. But the other thing I would add to that piece is that it's also really important that we promote what I refer to as psychological safety across the whole sector, so that people feel, and this is the really important word, it's okay to make statements, it's okay for us to have values, it's okay for us to have standards that are there, but ultimately at the end of the day, the difference we're trying to make is to change the way that people feel. And if people feel safe, then they will take those steps to change their life for the better, and they will feel safe in doing that. And you know, my journey has been one definitely full of luck, and I'm just really glad to be part of this process so that we can really lean in to help others in the sector feel comfortable, feel safe, and work on some meaningful best of breed, best standards that we can to help that. And yes, it's going to take 3 years because change doesn't happen overnight, but I'm really super, super happy and super proud to be part of this process.
Thank you so much. It means so much to hear from different people that come to us and that we take care of, because my big fear was that we would never be good enough. And I say that honestly, that we would never be good enough providing care to somebody like me. And that's as simple as that. So that was where that catalyst for change wants to occur. Because when I go into care, not if, when it's going to happen, I feel like I need it today with my back. But when that happens, am I confident that I will be able to express myself in the way that I want to? And at the moment, I don't think the sector's ready. I know my service is, hey, but I don't think the sector's there. More importantly, the sector, our name is care.
Yes.
Right? Our name is care. So we are an amazing pastoral care environment for the team that we look after as well. So we have the right to represent and service our teams as well. We owe them that, and that's our duty. So actually, sometimes the challenges that people who identify as LGBTQ+ have gone through, creating a space where they are welcome and feel respected and at home will service your services very well, because that respect, the mutual admiration, the feeling that I'm comfortable and respected and allowed to be here and do it well will mean a lot to any individual. And we can actually do that beautifully. And that's what I find shocking. Like, I'm looking at Phil and thinking, shocking. No, I'm not. But what I'm thinking is, when we go to Pride and we go out, you know, you've got, what was the best one? Tailors. So they're Quailers, Queer Tailors of London, right? They had representation at Pride, and the bloody care sector doesn't. What planet are we on? Because guess what? There was 2 million people in the streets over all of the prides in London, all of the prides up and down the UK, right? 2-3 million people would have attended them. We as a sector failed to tell them that we're an inclusive and a diverse space that you can work. And guess what? Our LGBTQ+ people have this emotional index scoring, which is so high, which is what our residents need. The fit is there. We just need to make a big deal of it. Sam, you've run big groups.
Yes.
You're setting up a group now.
Yes.
What are you doing to be inclusive?
Well, okay.
And why is it important? Give me something.
I think you just said it. We're in care. And we have across, every time you speak to somebody about social care, you talk about a retention issue or a recruitment issue. And so why? Why are we not able to retain people, or why are we not able to recruit people? We have to recruit emotionally intelligent human beings to work in this sector. It's an absolute requirement. So when I set up this group, nobody is even interviewed until we test their emotional intelligence first. That's the first thing. On day one of being introduced to us, they get told about our policy of inclusion. It's right in your face. It's on our website. We've got same-sex older people and we've got same-sex team members all together on our website represented. And we say, if this is not you, don't come. So people weed themselves out very quickly. By when they come to the assessment center, people actually leave after 3/4 of an hour. And that's fine, because that's not the people who we want looking after us in the future. So I think I'm so passionate about this, because if we are not including every human being, then how can every human be? You know, and it's so important. I had a team member 4 months ago come up after our assessment center and say they had been working for another provider in care for 5 years and had never told them that he was gay. He didn't feel safe to do that. And yet after a few hours in our assessment center, he was going, I need to come and work here. I know it will be brilliant. And let me tell you, that guy is amazing. And I would leave my mom with him any day of the week, you know? So I think we need to have a different view on this sector. We need to have people who have hearts. Let's be honest, any of one of us who've gone through crap in our lives, we've learned, you know? Every time you face adversity, every time you think I cannot do another day, it's the next day you find out actually you can and I can do it better. But people from this community have done that. So I am slightly passionate about that. I could literally talk about this every day. But it's really important in this sector. We do this and we do this well.
Part of the big thing, and we spoke about it on a session earlier about international recruitment, is to understand, first of all, how good is your diversity training? Really? When was the last time you genuinely sat through that and listened at how rubbish it was? Because generally diversity, equality and inclusion training is absolute nonsense. It's not very good. It's a tick box exercise. Fine, you want to do it, tick the box. So what we did is I sat through it and realized how rubbish ours was, and we changed our thinking. So we created these round tables, and again, a few of you have heard me talk about our round tables before, and this is a really amazing way to do it in your service. We have these round tables, and where, you know, when you, if you're a manager or an exec in any service, you've been down to these like fancy lunches where there's tea and coffee and little tray of sandwiches, and everyone gets to talk about important figures at a meeting. We don't give that right to our carers and our laundry people in our front line. We assume they need to be stuck in that warm cinema room, like bored after lunch and full and just want to have a little nap. And they're there and you're talking to them about why it's really important that you understand people's pronouns. But you've not included them really, because you don't know what their experience is, how far they are. So first thing is, know the people that you're training. Secondly, check if your training's fit for purpose. Big issue, most of it isn't. And the third one we realize is that we can actually host these round tables. So that's exactly what we do. Randomly, it's a really good day. We know that everyone in the nursing home is having a great day. There's a fantastic activity in the afternoon that we know is going to be popular. I'll get the kitchen to do us a little tray of cakes. We have coffee from the bistro. We sit down and I'll pull one person off of every department and every unit or suite, home, house, whatever you want to call it. So we have carers and a mix of people. There's about 8 of us in a room, and we sit down and we have a no-hold-bar conversation. It's called Chatham House Rules. We give that right again to fancy business people in suits. Why can't we give it to our carers and people that work in our kitchen teams? Why not? So then we talk about, right, I've got a resident who wants to identify as Sandra one day a week. How are we going to service this resident? Who is going in to deliver care on that day? Who's going to support them in getting ready? How can we facilitate this entire process in a meaningful way to support that individual? Because that's our priority. Keeping in mind that I also have a duty of care to my team, but I don't make them feel outside of their realms of comfort, because I don't want that to pass on to the resident. So it's a whole cycle. Now we have this conversation, we talk about it. It can get sometimes a little bit gritty because people have thoughts and learnings from different countries. Does that mean that they're cancelled and banned and fired? No. It means that people have a right to discuss these things, and we open up that forum. Now what happens is they then go up to the floor, and it's like, oh, what was that about? Oh, it was a group supervision, or it was a group learning. And it was a really interesting training session about what we might do in that situation. My team's preparedness to discuss that openly is half of the battle. James, at VIDA, you've got 3 amazing outstanding services, 3 out of 3. What's life in Harrogate like? Have you had any residents that identify? Have you got any experiences? And why outstanding will make a difference to VIDA?
Well, the answer to that is yes. But what I wanted to say firstly is thank you, Sanjay, for doing this, because it astounds me that in this day and age, but also in our sector, which is incredibly diverse, and we all celebrate that, and it astonishes me that we don't have this forum. So thank you for doing this, because I think, you know, it should already be there.
Got to get my OBE somehow.
Exactly, yeah.
Zoe's got one, I want to.
You know, it's 2023, isn't it? 23. You know, we shouldn't really be having this conversation, but we are, and it's necessary. And I'm going to steal some things, because I think that I run quite an inclusive and diverse. In fact, I demand that in my business, because I don't think you can run a sort of a care service without that integrity about you, because in the end it's about kindness, isn't it? It's about inclusivity, and if we don't have that, we have to question our ethos of care. So I believe that I have that. I'd almost say I know that, but it is interesting when you sit there and say, when was the last time you really debated and really looked not just at, you know, your diversity and inclusivity training, but the rest of it, and thought, is it really, really good? Have we really got to the core of it? Is it interesting? Does it make people feel proud? I think it does, but I always like to think that I've got an open mind, and therefore we can challenge it and challenge it and challenge it again. And I love the idea, and I will be stealing it, of, I think, your emotional intelligence thing of right at the first hurdle. That's the test, not the interview, because what's the point? So you're not wasting any time. You've got really efficient processes that you're going to go through, and it's all about retention, isn't it? You get the right people on the bus, you're laughing. To have that inclusive debate about training and how we work well with each other, and to allow people to express, you know, their views and their beliefs and their opinions, and then integrate it into your training, wow, that's amazing. So I will be doing that. And we do have one particular gentleman who's very old that lives in one of our services, who walks around in very, very, very skimpy gold hot pants, which is a very interesting look, and I welcome it very much.
No doubt. Caroline, domiciliary care, diversity, you're in people's homes. How does this play out, and what can you see the impact of this from both a carer but a resident perspective, a service user?
Thank you, Sanjay. And I just want to, listening to everybody talk, not recap what people have already said, but from my point of view, raise a couple of things that I feel I want to say on this. Two words I use quite frequently, and there's some of our team in the audience, is self-worth. Because every single one of us here, every one of our service users, our clients, our residents, every person we come into contact with deserves to have self-worth. And I have sat on webinars and read resources. Am I knowledgeable enough on this? No. Do I need to learn more? Yes. But it's absolutely heartbreaking to hear the loneliness and the trepidation that people feel, either at the point that they require care, or knowing in the future they are going to require care, knowing they are not necessarily going to be accepted for who they are. And Sam, and I will steal this, because Sam uses this quite frequently, and it's about that person, if for an employee point of view, but we could change it for the client or service user, being able to take themselves to work, and for the client to live as themselves in whatever setting. And I think, just in terms of the phases of this, I think it's really important to say Sanjay's put in a phenomenal amount of work to date, and there's still an awful lot of work to go. This is not a nod, it's not a salute as such. He's in this for the long haul, and he's in this to make real changes, which is going to take time, frustratingly possibly. In terms of domiciliary, I think the community aspect of this will be really useful. Because I think we talked about overseas earlier on, and there's a bit of anxiety or trepidation, again to use that word, or fear about getting it wrong. And I think that that goes for this sector as well. You know, am I using the right terminology? Am I going to offend somebody? Unless we start to have those real, honest, frank, open lines of communication, I need to learn, but I'm not going to learn. And I think the community aspect of this will really help and empower people. And I think from, certainly I think more, but you might correct me, Sanjay, from a domiciliary point of view, what we sometimes need to overcome is challenges from family, friends, informal caregivers about that person and their individuality and who they are, because that person may not be who that friend or family member has known for 20 years, 30 years. And that's a real challenge for us that we need to overcome.
We've had that at our care home. We had somebody who identified as LGBTQ+, and unfortunately, he hid his life from his family. He had a stroke at his beautiful summer property in the north of France, and his boyfriend was with him. Got back to the UK, went into care, family were next of kin, they weren't married. The family basically tried to stop us allowing the boyfriend that he's lived with for 20 years because they wouldn't admit that he was gay. Now that's a real life experience that I've seen and we've dealt with, and we've held the family's hand as much as I didn't want to, because I'm like, you imbeciles, but I can't say that. So we held their hand and talked them through it, supported them through it, facilitated the process, as much as it was gut-wrenching for me to do that, because it triggered me in every single way possible. However, we went through that process. And I understand that this is also happening, because I get people reaching out to me saying, we've got a family that's not on board at the moment. We've got a family that won't allow us to have this at the moment. We did our huge Jubilee event at the Close, and we had 300 people in our garden, all of our service users out. It was iconic. It broke the internet, apparently in Japan. I don't know how. It went viral out there. But it was amazing. We had a drag queen, because my logic was, how do you celebrate a queen with another goddamn queen? So we brought in a drag queen called Vanity Von Glow, and she performed to all of our residents. And it's on our website, take a look, theclosecarehome.co.uk. But it was absolutely remarkable, because the families were the ones that were like, oh, you can't have a drag queen. And then you realize that actually the residents are the people that grew up with Hinge and Bracket, Lily Savage, Dame Edna. They grew up in a time of carry-on camp humor, you know, Mrs. Slocum's pussy. They've heard it and, again, seen it all. That whole idea of that, you know, what is it, Barbara Windsor humor, you get it all. So the residents were fine with it. They loved it. And the best thing is we had a family that turned around and said that day, this really old straight bloke, like really proper guy. And he goes like, bring her to me. And we're like, oh God, what's going to happen? We scheduled 15 minutes in for meet and greet. Meet and greet took an hour and a half, because everyone wanted a photo with Vanity. Anyway, so this Vanity comes over to the resident and he goes, I never thought I'd see a drag queen again. His daughter was horrified and said, again? He goes, yeah, when we used to go on holiday to Benidorm as kids, you guys were little babies. We were at the all-inclusive every Thursday night for 2 weeks. Every year we would see a drag queen, and you guys don't even know that. So it was the kids' expectations that we have to break.
Love it.
Sam.
So I'm conscious of time, and I do talk a lot, so I'll be careful. Just a couple of things. One is real life right now. 3 weeks ago, two of my team members went out to assess a person who's moving into one of our care homes, because the care home where he is can't handle him. That's literally what we were told. His behaviours, that word. But his behaviours were things that people can't handle in the care home. And I met with the team and they came back and they said, what's the problem? I said, what's the problem? And Rachel said, he keeps going into all the women's rooms. I said, okay, what's the problem? Why do they not want him to live there? Well, he keeps going into the women's rooms and he keeps taking their clothes. Okay, so why don't we just get him the clothes? Oh, but his wife won't allow it. And I said, okay, well, what we need to do is sit down with the wife, we need to sit down with the team, we need to sit down with everyone, and we need to have a real conversation here. Because this is not behaviors, this is a person living their life the way they want to. And we must advocate for that. And that's happening every day in care homes all over the UK. And we're the ones that can change that. One other thing I'm going to say, Sanjay, sorry, I know. See, give me the mic and it's all trouble. The one other thing I say is I am a stickler on our policy and around our supplier and their policy on inclusion. So we will not sign up a supplier if we can't actually view and see and know that their inclusion policy is equal to ours.
And not just lip service.
Exactly. And there's a lot of that. So when we, each supplier that we choose, we actually interview and we look at how they integrate and include people right across all spectrums in their companies as well. Because I think we have to start somewhere.
And that's what we're hoping that we'll be able to put out as policy and procedure for employers, service users, obviously people that operate services and run services, to really explain how you can be inclusive, and we'll break it down through the forum to say, you want to look at your suppliers, this is the things that you're looking for in this spectrum, this is how you service them. So that's what we're hoping to do. Now, I know we've run out of time because we've got a really important session that Zoe's running, and then we've got the drinks right after. So if you stay, you get the drinks. If you don't, tough. But what's really, really important is that I'll be around here shopping you by the drinks. I'll be around there. Please come and tell me what you need from Outstanding. Get involved. This is only going to work when you are in it with us. And I say us because it's everyone's involved. And as I said, we've got buy-in from regulator, government, charities, NMC. Everyone wants to be involved with this because this is when we're really going to affect actual change. So please tell me what your services need, what your businesses need, what advocates, what processes, because we can start to build that in and learn. So if it's in my head now, we can put it into the program. We're hoping to get some lovely funding in order to make this even bigger and better and start doing in-person meetups and grants for people to be able to attend prides in the first year. So there's a lot coming. Fingers crossed the National Lottery smile down on us. It could be you. But if that happens, then it would be great. So guys, thank you so much. And we'll see you at the drinks in half an hour.
Well done, Sanjay.
The Outstanding Society is a community interest company, and membership is free to all, not just those who have achieved an outstanding rating. If you would like to join, please visit our website or follow the links in this episode.